Hi, I'm David Fettis, and this logic talk is about not both and neither nor. Those two phrases are sometimes challenging to translate into the language of symbols and of logic, and we're going to talk about how to do that today. Let me just, before getting into that, say again that I'm basing these talks on the writing of Professor Dr. Matthew Van Cleve. And if you're really good at reading and you take things in by reading and looking at it on paper, you really don't even need to watch these videos. But for many people, hearing and seeing helps to learn better than just reading. So I hope that these talks are helpful to some of you who can't just read Dr. Van Cleve on the page and get it right away. So let's think about not both and neither nor. Not both and neither nor mean different things. Here are a couple of sentences. Carla will not have both cake and ice cream. The other is Carla will have neither cake nor ice cream. Now, those are two different statements, and a way to understand the difference between them is to ask ourselves, what scenarios does each of those sentences rule out? Let's start with the first one. Carla will not have both cake and ice cream. And when we look at that sentence, we can see four different situations. Imagine those if we think about having cake and having ice cream. If she has cake and she has ice cream, then it's false that she won't have both cake and ice cream. You can see that in the first line of this little table. If she has cake and does not have ice cream, then it's true that Carla did not have both cake and ice cream. If she doesn't have cake but does have ice cream, then it's also true that Carla didn't have both cake and ice cream. And if she doesn't have cake and she doesn't have ice cream, maybe she's just on a diet and not going to eat either one, then it's also true that she will not have both. So there's only one scenario in which it's false, and that is if she has cake and she has ice cream, then it's false that she didn't have both. Now, how do we symbolize that? Well, let's break it down into its atomic propositions, first of all. And those are Carla has cake and Carla has ice cream. And if she doesn't have both, then you say that the conjunction is false. The conjunction would be Carla has cake and Carla has ice cream. And if you say she doesn't have both, then you put the tilde and then parentheses around C conjunction I. So you see she doesn't have both cake and ice cream is symbolized in that way. Now, not both P and Q is translated as the negation of a conjunction, as we've just seen. So you take the quantity P and Q in parentheses, and then you negate it, where the tilde, the negation, is the main operator, and then it applies to everything in the parentheses. So you're saying not both, P and Q, not cake and ice cream, and you put a parenthesis around that, and then you're negating the total conjunction. Now, remember that parentheses do matter here. Not P and Q in parentheses has a different meaning from not P and Q. If you have not P and Q in parentheses, it means that P and Q are not both true. One of them could be true, but both at the same time aren't true. Not P, and then the raised dot, and Q means that P is not true, and Q is true. You see the difference? In the one case, with the tilde in front of the stuff in parentheses, it means that P and Q aren't both true at the same time. And the other way of stating it says that P isn't true and Q is. So parentheses matter. Atomic propositions. Carla has cake. Carla has ice cream. Not C and I in parentheses means Carla will not have both cake and ice cream. Not C and I means Carla will not have cake, but she will have ice cream. So the way you put your parentheses matters very much. Now, we talked earlier about an inclusive OR and an exclusive OR in a different talk. And an inclusive OR was what we meant by the wedge. And our inclusive OR meant that if either of those is true, then the statement P or Q is true. But an exclusive OR means that only one of the two is true. And so we said that whenever you see a wedge, that symbolizes an inclusive OR. But how do you go about symbolizing an exclusive OR? An exclusive or is something like Bob placed either first or second in the race. And you know that he didn't do both, but he did do one of the two. So you take your atomic propositions. Bob placed first, make F the constant for that. Bob placed second, make S the constant for that. And how now do we symbolize an exclusive or where one or the other is true, but not both of them at the same time? Well, F or S, F wedge S, is inclusive, and that means that Bob could get first, he could get second, or he could get both first and second. So that's not an adequate way of symbolizing that Bob placed either first or second in the race with an exclusive or. The wedge is an inclusive, and so we need to find a different way to state the exclusive or. Bob placed first or second in the race. We can symbolize that as F or S, but if we want to make it an exclusive or, then we also have to make another statement. Bob did not place both first and second. See what I mean? In the first one, we're saying that he could have placed first or second, but we also want to say he didn't do both at the same time, and in a race, it's kind of hard to be both first and second. And the way of showing that is to say the conjunction would be false. First and second as a conjunction, in parentheses, that's false. So he can be first, he can be second, that's what we say by F wedge S, but he can't be both, that's what we say by tilde with F dot S in parentheses. So the way to symbolize an exclusive or is to put those two statements together. Bob placed first or second, F wedge S. Bob did not place both first and second, tilde F dot S in parentheses. And then you just put those two together, and you've got your exclusive or symbolized. So you can join, put in parentheses, F wedge S, as you see there. Then the raised dot is your main operator. And then you have a tilde, F dot S, which means not both F and S at the same time. He didn't get both first and second at the same time. So, again, in English, you've got your atomic propositions. Bob placed first and Bob placed second. And you're saying one or the other, and not both at the same time. That's your exclusive or. Now, how do we express neither nor in symbolic language? We say Carla will eat neither cake nor ice cream. Maybe she's on a diet, whatever the reason, but she's going to eat neither cake nor ice cream. First thing you do, of course, is you take your atomic propositions. You can't have a not in those. So you have to just state positively, Carla will eat cake with a C for your constant. Carla will eat ice cream with an I for your constant. When you say she will eat neither cake nor ice cream, using those atomic propositions, you make your little table. And if she eats cake and she eats ice cream, if C and I are both true, then it's false that Carla would neither eat cake nor ice cream. Now, if she eats cake and doesn't eat ice cream, then that overall statement is still false because we were saying she'll eat neither cake nor ice cream. So if she ate cake, the statement's false. If she didn't eat cake, tilde C, but did eat ice cream, we're talking about the third row now, then it's false to say that she will neither eat cake nor ice cream. The only time it's true to say that Carla will eat neither cake nor ice cream is if C and I are both false or if they're both negated, tilde C, tilde I. If both of those atomic propositions are negated, then the statement is true that Carla will neither eat cake nor ice cream. So to translate a neither nor statement, you do it using a conjunction of two negations. Tilde C, she won't eat cake. Dot is the and or the conjunction. And then tilde I, negation of she'll eat ice cream. And when you take those two conjuncts, not C and not I, and join them together in a conjunction, then you've expressed she will eat neither cake nor ice cream. Got it? Let's move on. Neither nor statements are expressed as a conjunction of two negations. So this is just kind of the general form of that. Tilde P dot tilde Q, and you're saying not P and not Q. Now, an interesting thing is this can be proved to be equivalent to be the negation of a disjunction. The two statements you see in yellow are saying exactly the same thing You can work it out if you knew how to do it, and you can show that not P and not Q means exactly the same as not the quantity P or Q, because you're saying neither P nor Q is true. So in symbolic logic, tilde P dot tilde Q is saying exactly the same thing as tilde parenthesis P wedge Q parenthesis. Isn't it a joyful thing to look at these symbols? But the logic behind it and the facts of the matter are pretty clear. When you say this isn't true and this isn't true, then you're also saying neither of those is true. The statement this or this would be false. And that's simply what you mean by the negation of P wedge Q.